The film Coco was a double winner at both the Academy Awards and the Golden Globes. It won Best Picture in the animated category at each. The movie is produced by Pixar Animation Studios, which is also behind movies including Toy Story, Cars, Inside Out, and Finding Nemo, among many others. The studio's president, Jim Morris, will be speaking at the Scottsdale Museum of Contemporary Art tonight, and he joins me. And Jim, before we get to the big screen, you're also a photographer. Tell me about your photos, because I've seen a few of them, and it looks like you kind of just walk around and take photos of things you find interesting, but you take those photos in interesting ways.
You're absolutely right. I do walk around and drive around and see things that catch my eye. And I don't know if they kind of evoke a sense of deja vu or some other sort of mood or wistful feeling in me, but I usually stop when something has a bit of an emotional impact on me. And it's a funny thing to say in a way, because my images don't contain people typically, but there's something about the lighting or the feel of it that I find evocative.
Do you find that the eye that you use in your photography comes into play at all when you're working on the movies that Pixar does?
Well, you know, in my role overseeing the movies, I'm not involved so much in the day-to-day layout and photography of them. I did produce a movie here at Pixar some years ago called WALL-E, and my eye came into that very heavily because in that film we're trying to capture some of the tropes of science fiction films of the 70s and 80s and the way they were photographed and so forth. And there were a lot of kind of minimalist compositions in the sort of post-apocalyptic world we were creating in that. So, and I do bring my eye to that a lot when we're looking at images and so forth.
Well, you mentioned WALL-E, and one of the things that strikes me about a lot of the movies that come out of Pixar is that they are ostensibly movies that are kind of geared toward kids, but they're not necessarily just for kids. They're movies that, you know, kids and their parents can all watch together. And I'm wondering how important that is to you as a studio that you have these films that, you know, kind of a family can sit together and all watch, and, you know, the kids understand what's going on to some extent and the parents aren't bored out of their minds.
It's very important to us to try to have the films hit all the audience segments, and not because of business reasons entirely. We actually try to make films that we want to go see and films that we would take our families to. So, you know, we see animation as not a genre, but as a type of filmmaking, if I could put it that way.
Is there a particular formula or a way that you think about trying to walk that balance? Because I would think that it might be tricky in some ways to have content that would appeal to grown-ups and maybe even teenagers, adolescents, young adults, but not be age inappropriate for some of your younger audience.
It's a little tricky sometimes, but I think our approach is really, at the end of the day, to try to focus on something that has an emotional core. And then we work with them to kind of incubate their idea and grow it over time and add to it and so forth. But at its very core, it has to have something that's deeply emotional. And if you have a deeply emotional theme, you can add comedy to it, you can add adventure to it. But deeply emotional stuff doesn't tend to be controversial in terms of whether it's adults or children. It'll touch adults and children equally.
Is there a trick to doing that, though, when the characters in the movie are not actual people, when they're either drawn or computer-generated?
I think the trick we have with making animation in general is getting the audience to suspend their disbelief. That's something that everybody tries to do in every movie, but you have the added barrier in animation of having things that aren't real humans in real places. We strive to create really believable worlds and believable characters in them.
There's been so much talk in Hollywood and in the movie industry in general recently about trying to increase the diversity, both in terms of who's making the movies and, you know, who's in charge of them and writing them and all, but also who viewers see on screen.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how that affects what you do, given that you're not necessarily working with, you have voice actors, but you don't have actors and actresses that viewers see on screen per se.
No, you know, but it's interesting, though. The drive towards diversity is really important, not only because it's the right thing to do, but also because the audiences are changing and they're becoming more diverse. And if we don't have filmmakers and characters that are speaking to those audiences, we start to lose audience share. So even from a business point of view, it's smart for us to be thinking about that. But in the first place, it does matter, even if you have animated characters that you can't tell are white or black or brown or yellow, or, you know, they're, when we have Mindy Kaling and something like Inside Out, people know, and they notice, and they know that. Doing a film, you know, we've just had Coco come out last Thanksgiving, and that's a film set in Mexico about Mexico, and that has touched audiences pretty deeply around the world, and the diversity in that. So sometimes it's in the characters that you see on the screen, and sometimes it's in the people that are voicing those characters. In either case, there's a lot of work to do in that airspace and a lot more that needs to be accomplished there.
Well, yeah, when you're looking at movies that are coming up or stories that you would like to tell, how much do you consider sort of who the characters are and who maybe they could be and maybe what the setting could be as opposed to maybe what the original idea for it was?
Well, our process is a very iterative one. We start out with a director who pitches some ideas. We pick one of those ideas, and then we start to incubate it. And they generally start out at a place that's very different from where they end up. And we will go through a process. We'll kind of go through a draft, and we'll take a look at certain characters, and we may discover, you know, that character would be interesting if we changed that character to a female character, and that would bring this different aspect to the movie. It's an interesting balance. We find if we do stuff for the sake of doing it, like let's just make that a female character so it's a female, or let's put this into the movie because it's topical, that stuff never really works too well. It doesn't land when it doesn't feel organic. So we have to be very careful to navigate that so that it does feel genuine and authentic and not something you've bolted on to speak to some issue of the moment or to look politically correct.
Jim, thanks a lot for taking the time to chat. I appreciate it.
Mark, thanks so much.
Jim Morris is the president of Pixar Animation Studios and will be speaking tonight at the Scottsdale Museum of Contemporary Art. He's also a photographer and currently has a show at Tilt Gallery, also in Scottsdale.